ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Translation: divided into varieties by her threefold modes, material nature creates the forms of the living entities, and the living entities, seeing this, are illusioned by the knowledge covering feature of the illusory energy. Srila Prabhupada's purport: material energy has the power to cover knowledge, but this covering cannot be applied to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is applicable only to the prajaha, or those who are born with material bodies, the conditioned souls. The different kinds of living entities vary according to the modes of material nature, as explained in Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literature. In Bhagavad Gita, it is very nicely explained that although the modes of goodness, passion and ignorance are born of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is not subject to them. In other words, the energy emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot act on Him. It acts on the conditioned souls who are covered by the material energy. The Lord is the Father of all living entities because He impregnates material energy with the conditioned souls. Therefore, the conditioned souls get bodies created by the material energy, whereas the Father of the living entities is aloof from the three modes. It is stated in the previous verse that the material energy was accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order that He might exhibit pastimes for the living entities who wanted to enjoy and lord it over the material energy. This world was created through the material energy of the Lord for the so-called enjoyment of such living entities. Why this material world was created for the sufferings of the conditioned souls is a very intricate question. There is a hint in the previous verse in the word lilaya, which means for the pastimes of the Lord. The Lord wants to rectify the enjoying temperament of the conditioned souls. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that no one is the enjoyer but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This material energy is created, therefore, for anyone who pretends to enjoy. An example can be cited here that there is no necessity for the government's creation of a separate police department, but because it is a fact that some of the citizens will not accept the state laws, a department to deal with criminals is necessary. There is no necessity, but at the same time there is a necessity. Similarly, there was no necessity to create this material world for the sufferings of the conditioned souls, but at the same time there are certain living entities known as Nityabaddha, who are eternally conditioned. We say that they have been conditioned from time immemorial because no one can trace out when the living entity, the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, became rebellious against the supremacy of the Lord. It is a fact that there are two classes of men: those who are obedient to the laws of the Supreme Lord and those who are atheists or agnostics, who do not accept the existence of God and who want to create their own laws. They want to establish that everyone can create his own laws or his own religious path. Without tracing out the beginning of the existence of these two classes, we can take it for granted that some of the living entities revolted against the laws of the Lord. Such entities are called conditioned souls, for they are conditioned by the three modes of material nature. Therefore, the words gunaya vichitraha are used here. In this material world, there are 84 lakh species of life. As spirit souls, they are all transcendental to this material world. Why then do they exhibit themselves in different stages of life? The answer is given here: they are under the spell of the three modes of material nature. Because they were created by the material energy, their bodies are made of the material elements. Covered by the material body, the spiritual identity is lost. And therefore the word mumohe is used here, indicating that they have forgotten their own spiritual identity. This forgetfulness of spiritual identity is present in the jivas, or souls, who are conditioned, being subject to be covered by the energy of material nature. Jnana guhaya is another word used. Guha means covering, Because the knowledge of the minute conditioned souls is covered, they are exhibited in so many species of life. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th chapter, 1st canto, the living entities are illusioned by the material energy. In the Vedas also it is stated that the eternal living entities are covered by the different modes and that they are tricolored, red, white and blue living entities. Red is the representation of the mode of passion, white is the representation of the mode of goodness, and blue is the representation of the mode of ignorance. These modes of material nature belong to the material energy, and therefore the living entities under these different modes of material nature have different kinds of material bodies. Because they are forgetful of their spiritual identities, they think the material bodies to be themselves. To the conditioned soul, me means the material body. This is called moha, or bewilderment. It is repeatedly said in the Katha Upanishad that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never affected by the influence of material nature. It is rather the conditioned souls or the minute infinitesimal parts and parcels of the Supreme who are affected by the influence of material nature and who appear in different bodies under the material modes. Material nature creates the form of the living entities who become bewildered by this due to the avaranatmika vritti, or the phase of material energy that covers the knowledge of the living entities. And if we consider the attraction of a covered living entity for the form of another living entity, then it is amazing how we become attracted. As Prabhupada often stated, and Shankaracharya, he pointed this out, that why are we attracted to what is a bag full of blood and stool and pus and bones and liver and kidneys and all? It doesn't seem very logical. It's not. Attraction and repulsion according to the bodily form. This shows the power of Maya, that we are attracted to that which causes our suffering. We are supposed to be attracted to the form of Krishna. That form is Satchidananda, Kandarpa Koti, Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. That form is fully spiritual. That form, to be attracted to that form, the form of Krishna, is the source of all auspiciousness for every living entity. And to be attracted to a material form is the source of all trouble. As Srila Prabhupada often pointed out, sex life, whether licit or illicit, is always troublesome. Kanduktivar manasijang visaheta dhira. Therefore, this itching sensation, the sexual attraction is compared to an itching sensation. A sober person should tolerate that. Of course, attraction to material forms is not only to the form of the opposite sex, although in the modern age it's become more common, or increasingly common, especially in the Western countries, that people are attracted to the same sex form. We think that's disgusting, isn't it? A man is attracted, sexually attracted to another man. And then there are people who are sexually attracted to animals. And that seems like, and then where's the end of the degradation? But if you consider, we think that well, we feel attracted, a man feels attracted to the form of a female and vice versa. And we think the attraction of a man for a man is disgusting, or a man for an animal is even more disgusting. But then if you consider, man is attracted to man means it's flesh, blood, bone, stool, and it's just in a different shape to that of a female. So it's all perverted, actually. So attraction and repulsion are felt in relationship to the material form. But we are advised to not be attracted to any material form and not be repulsed by any material form, but to be attracted to the beauty of Krishna. Now there are the Vamya tantrics, the left-wing tantrics, who they want to become free from all attraction and all repulsion. So to become free from repulsion, from horrible things, they practice the sadhana of eating meat. They don't think it's nice, but the idea is that we shouldn't enjoy it and we shouldn't be disgusted by it, although it's disgusting. Some people find eating meat to be very nice, and some people find it to be disgusting, but they will take it and just neutral, that's all. And then taking wine, and they're supposed to be indulging in sex life, but they're supposed to feel no sensation. And even they'll have sex with a corpse, and you should be completely level-headed and not feel disgusted and not feel attraction. So that's a perverted way of becoming, of attempting to become free from material attraction and repulsion, but it's ultimately useless because it doesn't develop our attraction for Krishna. The idea, they call it panchama, the five mas. What's that? There's monks, madhya means wine, mahila, then what else is there? Machli, eating fish also, matsya, and one other means mahila, madhya, I can't remember. Anyway, there's something else. It's probably better we don't remember. Huh? Ma. Should begin with ma. Muri? That's not so bad. Kya bolte? Muri.
Eating meat and drinking wine and having sex and eating muri.
It's a milder version. He's very innocent. So, and I'm very scatterbrained. I can never remember. Anyway, we got Chaturma, and there's one more, which I don't. I'll probably remember after the class. Anyway. So they got the point that you're supposed to be free from material attraction and repulsion, but that we are to develop our attraction for Krishna. They got it. They missed that point altogether. They just think, well, we'll be free from attraction and repulsion, then we'll be liberated. But what's the use? We should be attracted to Krishna. Instead of being attracted or not attracted to material forms. And the whole material existence is going on because of attraction to material form, not only rupa, rasa, gandha, sparsha, shabda, all these are different manifestations of sense of objects to which the senses are attracted. But the whole thing is to be attracted to Krishna, to love Krishna. This attraction for Krishna, that means love for Krishna. In the material world, there's no love. There's just a feeling of animalistic attraction. I want to enjoy. So it's a perversion of our original desire to love Krishna. So we shall see how much we are attracted to Krishna. Are we loving Krishna? That all of our sensual propensities should be engaged for the service of Krishna, for Ras Bihari. That we should be thinking, instead of thinking how I shall be satisfied by filling my belly, we shall think how Krishna will be fed very nicely. Instead of thinking how I shall enjoy nice music, we should think how Krishna will be satisfied by hearing music. In many temples, there is or used to be the system that music would be played for the Lord, even without kirtan. That you still see in Nathdwara, for instance. There are still many temples where early in the morning they have people who are there playing music. There'll be flute and some drums and some different, and very tasteful. Then again, when the darshan closes, they'll be playing music like this for the pleasure of the Lord, what He likes to hear. So everything done for the pleasure of the Lord. This is the process of archan, is the process by which we offer all nice things to the Lord, and in this way we give up our propensity for trying to secure all nice things for ourselves. Prabhupada, he once commented about the young women in our movement, because at that time there were many young women. It was mostly young people, young men and women. Now those young men and women are all becoming old men and women. But at that time they were young. So Prabhupada, he noted that young women, especially young women, they have the tendency to decorate their bodies, to decorate themselves, to look very nice. But Prabhupada said that they're not interested in that. They're interested in decorating Krishna. So this propensity that I shall decorate myself very nicely, look in the mirror, how nice I look, it actually takes a lot of time and energy, and then you may be thinking all the time, I have to buy this new kind of lipstick and this new kind of fashion, and what will people think of me, and there's a new hairstyle, and one can become completely absorbed in just thinking how to make myself look nice and how to get enough money to purchase the latest fashion and what do people think of me. But this propensity, if it is transferred to Krishna, becomes very favorable to devotional service, always thinking how we can dress the Lord very nicely, and then bring the mirror, instead of looking in the mirror, what do I look like? Bring the mirror, let Krishna look and see. Krishna is very beautiful, and why should only we enjoy looking at Krishna? Krishna can also enjoy looking at Himself. So, and then thinking, nice food. Now is the season for langra, mango, famous, popular. Ratnagiri is finished, so now it's the season for langra. But we can think how we can offer to the Lord. It used to be a common thing. I was living in London before I came to live in India. So in those days, almost all the flights from India to America, they came through London. So devotees would stop, devotees coming from India to America, they'd stop in London And almost always they'd bring some mangoes or some Indian vegetables, which in those days you couldn't get very easily in India, just for the pleasure of the Lord. They'd purchase one nice box of, you see people, they go on the train from Bombay to Mangalore or something during the hot season. They bring a case of Ratnagiri mangoes for their relatives. So this we shall bring for the pleasure of Krishna. He is the Supreme Lord. He likes mangoes. Let us bring some nice mangoes for His pleasure, or some different vegetables which you don't get in the West. Nowadays you can get everything, but in those days you couldn't get. So this tendency to do everything for Krishna's pleasure. It's said that Mother Yashoda, if she sees one drop of sweat on Krishna's brow, that is giving a little irritation to Krishna. So she is willing to die 1,000 times. Of course, she never dies. She's an internal associate of Krishna. But that she will take any distress just to remove that slight irritation to Krishna. So Krishna is never irritated. Krishna has no problem. Krishna is always happy. But there appears to be some distress for Krishna. Krishna is feeling very tired. So his devotees come and he's playing so all morning. Then he became very tired. So he lies down with his head on the lap of one of the cowherd boys, and the others come and massage his legs. So in this way, Krishna apparently feels some distress, but it's an opportunity to give service to his devotees. And then he enjoys that his devotees, they take pleasure in serving him. So the very simple point, the point that's being discussed here, this is one of what is given the description of the chapter title is Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. So this is a fundamental principle. This is not very high principle. We're not here discussing about in this chapter it's not being discussed the intricacies of rasa, just very basic principles. How in this material world we are covered, the knowledge covering feature of maya gives us the propensity, actually not the propensity, but the perverted propensity to enjoy this material world, although we have no connection with it. So it's a very basic principle. But nevertheless, we have to hear this. Prabhupada gave a long purport on this. So these basic principles we have to understand, because although we may discuss higher topics, the intricacies of Krishna's relationships with the gopis, we can discuss all these things. But nevertheless, we practically experience that it's very difficult for us, seems to be very difficult to get free from the attraction for material forms. It's easy to talk about Krishna's intimate pastimes, and those who have a taste for discussing such topics are certainly very fortunate. But at the same time, it's very difficult to get free from all material attraction. I think we can all experience this. That even though we're engaged in Krishna's service, we're trying to engage in Krishna's service, and may do so for some years, but still the tendency to be attracted towards material nature, it appears to be very difficult to give up. We have a row of older gentlemen sitting here. So they're all devotees, all been practicing bhakti for many years. What do you think? Do you think that just by getting old you can give up material desires? Does it happen like that? That automatically you become free from material desires by getting older? What do you think? It's a question. Aap log abhi sab vridhavastha mein hai. To keval vridh hone se aap sabhi prakar ki maya ka sakti se mukt hote hai kyon? Kya? Nahi, it's not so easy. Prabhupada told that story of the, who is that, Akbar supposed to be? In his dying stage. No, he wasn't dying. But he asked, who's that supposed to be? Birbal. Yeah. That it's a very elevated question, actually. You don't expect hardly anyone to ask such a question. Maybe in the more religious atmosphere of India at that time, people used to discuss such things. But then, how long do material desires exist? How long do lusty desires, how long do they go on for? You think that in young men, such desires may be they are certainly very prominent. But you would expect in an older person who is old, mature, wise, seems to be self-controlled, respectable person, then you think that probably the lusty attraction, which is common in young men, that will have finished in an older man. So Birbal told, I'll tell you later. So Akbar, he knew, well, Birbal has his own way of answering questions. So he didn't pursue the point further at the time. Then after some days, Birbal called up and said, come with me. All right, bring your daughter. All right, beautiful young daughter. Usually you would expect the emperor's daughter. It's some kind of good karma to be born in a rich, powerful family. So usually they're good looking also, you'll find. It all goes together. Janmaishwarya Shuta Shri. You don't usually find someone who's born in a rich, powerful family, beautiful and stupid. They're usually intelligent also. It all goes together. So anyway, he brought his daughter and he said, I'm taking you now to the house of a dying man. This man has only a few hours to live. He's on his deathbed. Now when you come in the door with your daughter, I want you to look very carefully and see what that dying man, what he looks at. So they came in, the man is dying, just an ordinary man, and said, renounce that the Emperor Akbar has come to see you. And he walked in and he saw, he's not looking at the Emperor, he's looking at his daughter. So then Birbal told that this attraction for material form goes on even to the moment of death. Frightening, isn't it? Unless we can develop our attraction for the form of Krishna, then due to attraction to the mundane forms, we have to come back again to this material world. So therefore, duravataha, the only hope is to take up bhakti. Satatam kirtayanto mang yatantascha duravrataha. Durata, very strong. Vrata means determination. To not determination that I will conquer over maya, but determination that I will do my best to attract the mercy of Krishna. We cannot force that I shall conquer over maya. It's not possible. Anyone who says, I am now free from maya, you know they're in for a lot of trouble. One of our godbrothers said that. I remember he said, no, I'm free from maya. I've now I am now free from the desire for sense gratification, he said. That was a long time ago, and he's been engaged in sense gratification practically ever since, because he thought, I have conquered over Maya. But it's not possible. We cannot conquer over Maya. She is more powerful than us. She is much more powerful. But we can take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, who is much more powerful than Maya, and be protected by Krishna. Sharanyam sharanyam gato mukundam parivritta karata. Mukunda, who gives freedom from the attraction of Maya, he is worth taking shelter of. Daivi hiyesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Taking shelter of Krishna is the only hope. So these are fundamental principles of material nature. These are what we call basic principles of Vaishnava philosophy. And they're to be understood very carefully. Therefore, Prabhupada has given extensive purports. Prabhupada sitting here in Bombay at Radha Rasbihari Temple, of course the temple was just a tin shed at the time, he spoke on this section of Srimad Bhagavatam in great detail, gave lengthy lectures on these basic points day after day after day, just so that we can understand the basic principles, which if we understand, if our basic understanding of Krishna consciousness is very strong, then our Krishna consciousness can go very nicely. But if we have some basic misunderstanding, then we may discuss so many higher principles, this, that, the other, but it will be building houses on, building castles in sand. There's a saying in English. Building a castle. Castle means like a Raj Mahal, huge house. But if you build it on sand, you don't have to be a construction engineer to understand that building a big building on sand means it's all going to collapse. So it may look nice for some time, but unless our basic understanding is, our foundation is very strong, then it won't last. So these fundamental principles of material nature are being taught. This may be considered very basic knowledge, but actually it's very high. It's very high topics. Who's discussing such topics? Sometimes we hear that devotees want to discuss higher topics. So let's discuss higher topics. Let's discuss, we are not the body, we are spirit soul. This is a very high topic. This is much higher than most people can understand. It's much higher than we can, most of the time we don't realize that. Philosophically it may seem like a very basic topic, but as far as realization is concerned, our tendency to be attracted to material form proves that it's still a subject that is higher than our present level of realization. So all glories to Lord Kapila Dev for kindly coming into this world, and all glories to Vyasa Dev and Srila Prabhupada for giving us this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, which helps us to be fixed in the understanding that we are not meant to enjoy this material world. We are meant to serve Krishna, do everything to make Him happy. And in this way, we can achieve actual auspiciousness in our lives. So, you'd like to say something? Yeah, please give the mic. Please don't mind, I'm not in any way meaning to criticize you, but I'm just using it as an example that it is not easy to be free from mind.
Hare Krishna. So many years, we are working. But he had undue attachment. Why? My mother, my father, my daughter, and my son.
Yeah.
Attachment, why?
Well, that's a very good point, actually. You'll find that we're still attached to our family members. Prabhupada often said, and he often wrote, that forcibly one must leave the family members. He was very strong on that. That one should not remain attached throughout life. Otherwise the tendency is, at the time of death we will think of our family members and have to take birth again. Now, if they're devotees, that's all right, but still, we may be attached to them, not particularly because they're devotees, but because they're our family members. We find Kunti Devi, she was praying that Sneha Pashamimang Chindhi Jura Pandashu Vrishnushu, that she was praying to Krishna, please don't lean on this young man. Don't lean on the pillar. That's not meant for you to lean on. If you're too tired, you can sit down. So she was praying to Krishna to be freed from her attachment to the Pandavas and the Rishis. But they're all pure devotees, so what's wrong with that attachment? But she was considering them as her family members. So to consider them in that way is a material attachment. One should be attached to all pure devotees and not particularly to those that happen to be my family members. So Prabhupada was very strong on this. He wanted. I mean, I've seen devotees who lived at home up to the last moment with their family members who are devotees. And from the circumstances in which they passed away, it seems that they were on their way back to Godhead. But at the same time, the danger is there of being materially attached. Prabhupada himself, his family members, his wife was a devotee, not very intense devotee like Prabhupada. But Prabhupada, he left that. Prabhupada was quite strong on these points, actually. On many points. And his own Guru Maharaj, even more so. That one disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he was a young man. He had one son who was 5 years old. And his wife was a devotee. And he wrote to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and said that, well, I must admit that I'm very much attached to my son, Gaurdas. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur wrote back and said, there are millions of Gaurdases in the world, meaning young boys like that. But he said, family attachment is an obstacle in the path of Krishna consciousness. And shortly after that, one of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's sannyasis came and just kind of pulled him out of the home and forcibly pulled him out, and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati gave him sannyas. Even though he had a young wife and a young son. So nowadays in ISKCON we wouldn't do that. Prabhupada used to do it. Prabhupada was revolutionary. He gave sannyas to young men. Nowadays we don't do that. Of course we don't do it because most of them didn't maintain their vows. But I'm not saying that it's necessarily wrong that we have a policy of being much more cautious nowadays in regards to giving sannyas. But I'm just making the point that Prabhupada is very strong on this point. Cut that attachment. It's painful. Seems painful, but the end result is that, or should be, that we become attached to Krishna. So it would be nice if the older men in our movement would do that. The idea is that The wife is looked after by the elder or grown-up children, and the man leaves home to practice Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada himself said that when my Guru Maharaj in a dream was calling me to take sannyas, Prabhupada said, how can I do that? It's horrible, even the thought. Prabhupada was saying. So, no doubt it's painful, but that is the recommendation. Just leave it all. You're going to have to leave it soon anyway, either forcibly or by choice. If you leave by choice, that's glorious. Of course, if you leave, having left the family members, then one should engage in bhakti very intensely. Otherwise, what's the point? If you leave the family members just to set up a nice comfortable apartment somewhere and live very comfortably, then what's the point? One has to leave the material condition for engaging in Krishna, to come to something better, to some very intense bhajan, seva, like this. Give the mic, please. For family members. For Krishna. Krishna ke liye aasakti jo hai. So, aapki aasakti agar Krishna ke liye hai, to wo prem bhakti hai. Lekin wo aasakti hai kya Krishna ke liye? Ya hamara kalpanik Krishna ke liye hai? Krishna hai mera vishay bhog data. Aasakti ka matlab seva bhav. To bahut se log ke aasakti hai bhagwan ke liye, lekin unki dharana hai ki bhagwan hai ek shakti jo mujhko sabhi suvidhaan deta hai mera bhog vilas karne ke liye. To wo aasakti mayak hai, wo Krishna ke liye nahi hai, wo hamara kalpanik Bhagavan ke liye hai. Bhagavan hai bhokta, hum bhogya hai. To savior sevak bhav mein yadi aa sakti ho ki vehi savior hai, inki seva karna chahiye, main sevak hoon, to wo hi bhakti hai. Aur yadi hum बहुत आसक्त हो भक्ति में, लेकिन वो भक्ति क्या है? भौतिक सुविधाओं के लिए, तो वो आसक्ति भक्ति नहीं है. भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर और एक कहानी बोलता हूं कि एक व्यक्ति एक बार श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर के पास आके इनको बताया कि मेरा एक दोस्त है जिनकी बहुत ही गौर भक्ति थी, अभी नहीं है, बहुत बड़े गौर भक्त था. तो क्या हुआ, उसकी बहुत ही प्रिया छोटी लड़की थी और बहुत बीमार हो गया और मृत्यु मुखी थी वो लड़की. तो इस वास्तव में वो मेरा दोस्त बहुत सी भक्ति करते हैं और हर रोज 3-4 दफे गुरु के पास जाके नमन करते थे और प्रार्थना की तो मेरी बच्ची को बचाए और बहुत गौर गौर हे गौर हे गौर हे गौर गौर भगवान. तो बहुत ऐसे प्रार्थना किया, हे गौर मेरी लड़की को बचाए, तो फिर भी इतनी सी भक्ति करके भी वो उसकी लड़की बहुत कष्ट में मार गए। तो कुछ दिन के बाद वो आदमी जो भक्तिस्थान सरस्वती ठाकुर के पास गए है इस कहानी कहने के लिए, तो उसके वो लड़की की मारन के कुछ दिन के बाद वो व्यक्ति फिर वो आदमी जिसकी लड़की मार गए उससे मुलाकात हुए, फिर बोला बहुत खेद हूं कि आपकी लड़की मार गई और आप बड़े गौर भक्त है। मैं गौर भक्त नहीं हूं, गौर जैसे व्यक्ति कोई नहीं है। अगर गौर भगवान था तो अवश्य ही मेरे लड़की को बचाते, लेकिन नहीं बचाए तो यही प्रमाण है कि कोई भगवान नहीं है। तो बहुत बड़ा भक्त था लेकिन ओ लड़की का मारन के साथ उसकी भक्ति एकदम खलास हो गया। तो वो क्या है, आसक्ति है भगवान के लिए? नहीं। तो भक्ति का नाम में बहुत कुछ जो चलते थे।